Gopi Jana Vallabham Girivaranai. Saranandana Vajra Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Gopi Jana Vallabham Girivaranai Sodanandana Vajra Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabham Girivaranai Sodanandana Vajra Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Asatara Sata Sri Sri Modest Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Skosha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Dwarka Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Gaur Premananda, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Text 15. Anybody got a good tune? Yeah, it's a long, it's not a standard line. Okay. Ambo janma janis tarantara gato mai. I'm not doing it correctly. Somebody who knows the tune can chant, lead the chanting. Ambo janma janis tarantara gato mai arbakasya shitu. Trasta manjo mahit famanyarapitan vatsanito vatsapan. Nitvan yatra kurad vahantara dada ke vastito yapura. Trisvagasura mokshanam prabhavata prapta param vismayam. Ambo janma janis tadantara gato mayar bakas yeshitu. Drasta manju vipamanya rabita vatsanito vatsapan. Nipanyatra kurodhantara dadat kevastito yapura. Drisvagasura mochanam prabhavata prapta param vismayam. And anybody else like to try? Ambo janma janis tarantara gato maya bakas yeshitu. Jastam manyu mvitva manya napitan vatsanito vatsapan. Nipan yatra kurodvahanaradha kevastito yapura. Drisvagasura mokshanam prabhavata prapta param vismayam. Anybody else? Vaishnavis. Um Jambo Jani Staranturagato Mayarbakas Yeshitu. Rasta manju mahi pamanya rapita vatsani to vatsapan. Svagasura mokshanam prabhavata bhakta param vismayam. Ambojanma janahi, Lord Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower, tad antara gataha, now became entangled with the affairs of Krishna, who was enjoying lunchtime pastimes with his cowherd boys. Maya Arbhikasya, of the boys made by Krishna's Maya. Ishituhu, of the Supreme Controller. Drashtum, just to see. Manju, very pleasing. Mahitvam anyat api, other glories of the Lord also. Tatvatsan, their calves. Itaha, than that place where they were. Vatsapan, and the cowherd boys taking care of the calves. Nitva, bringing them. Anyatra, to a different place. Kurudvaha, O Maharaj Parikshit. Antardadat, kept hidden and invisible for some time. Ke avastitaha ya, this person Brahma, who was situated in the higher planetary system, in the sky. Pura, formerly. Drishtva, was observing. Agasura mokshanam, the wonderful killing and deliverance of Agasura from material tribulation. Prabhavataha, of the all-potent Supreme Person. Prapta param vismayam, had become extremely astonished. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Maharaj Parikshit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes as if playing with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future, he would see how powerful Krishna was. Purport. When Agassura was being killed by Krishna, who was accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished and wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there. Thus, he became entangled in Krishna's maya. After all, Brahma was born materially. As mentioned here, Ambojanma Janahi. He was born of Ambuja, a lotus flower. It does not matter that he was born of a lotus and not of any man, animal, or material father. A lotus is also material. And anyone born through the material energy must be subject to the four material deficiencies. Brahma, the tendency to commit mistakes. Pramada, the tendency to become illusioned. Vipralipsa, the tendency to cheat. And karanapatava, imperfect senses. Thus, Brahma also became entangled. Brahma, with his maya, wanted to test whether Krishna was actually present. These cowherd boys were but expansions of Krishna's personal self, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bihi. Later, Krishna would show Brahma how he expands himself into everything as his personal pleasure, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Ladini Shakti Asmat. Krishna has a transcendental potency called Ladini Shakti. He does not enjoy anything that is a product of the material energy. Brahma, therefore, would see Krishna expand his energy. Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible. Instead, he took away a Maya Sita. Similarly, Brahma took away Mayarbhakaha, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulences to the Mayarbhakaha, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. That he would see in the very near future. Mayarbhakasya Ishituhu. This bewilderment, this maya, was caused by the Supreme Controller, Prabhavataha, the all-potent Supreme Person, Krishna, and we shall see the result. Anyone materially born is subject to bewilderment. The pastime is therefore called Brahma-Vimohana Lila, the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Moitam navijananti mam ebhyaha param avyayam. Bhagavad Gita 7:13. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna. Even the demigods cannot understand him. Muyanti yat suryaha. Tene brahma hridayati kavye. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:1:1. Everyone, from Brahma down to the small insect, must take lessons from Krishna. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Vritya. The only supreme controller is Lord Krishna, and everyone else, no matter how highly they are posted in the cosmic hierarchy of beings is a servant of Krishna, subordinate to Krishna. So Brahma is very highly posted in the material universe. He is the original demigod within the material universe. As explained in this purport, he takes birth from a lotus flower that sprouts from the navel of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. And there's the Mahavishnu who lies on the causal ocean, and from his body expand millions of material universes. You know, they come out in small seed-like form, and by the energy of Mahavishnu, they expand. And then Mahavishnu enters into each of these universes as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and lies on the Garbha ocean within each of these many uncounted millions of material universes. And from his navel sprouts the lotus flower. And Brahma takes birth or becomes manifest on this lotus flower. And this happens in each of the universes. There's an account later in the 10th canto of how once all the Brahmas from all the different universes came to Dwarka to see Krishna. Krishna had summoned them. Because the Brahma in this universe had wanted to speak to Krishna in Dwarka. He had gone to Krishna's palace there and knocked on the door. And the doorman had met him, and Brahma had announced himself. The doorman went back to Krishna and said, "Brahma's here to see you." And Krishna had told the doorman to go back to Lord Brahma and ask him which Brahma, because there are many universes. Of course, this Brahma didn't know that, or had temporarily forgotten it. So he was astonished to hear that there were other Brahmas. So Lord Krishna caused all of the Brahmas to be summoned to his palace in Dwarka. And you know, there's a nice painting from the old Srimad Bhagavatams showing, you know, the many Brahmas coming to Krishna there. And some of them have many heads. According to the size of the universe, they have different numbers of heads. Some have thousands of heads. Whereas the Brahma in our universe has only four heads because it's the smallest universe, according to some of the commentaries. So it was a very strange event, because each Brahma thought that Krishna was having a private audience with him. But from a higher point of view, they were actually all present. So Krishna is very powerful. He can cause transformations of time and space that seem quite improbable according to the materialistic way of thinking. That the real Sita wasn't taken, but Ravana took Amaya Sita. So here it's being explained that Brahma took away some Maya cowherd boys and calves and kept them in a cave. Now, where the real ones went, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe somebody knows. But later in this canto and coming chapters, it will be explained how Krishna manifested a second set of cowherd boys and calves, which were his direct expansions. And they seem to have been different from the original cowherd boys and calves, because it's stated that the affection of the boys' mothers and fathers was much more intense than their affection for the original boys and calves, and similarly, the original boys, and similarly, the cows were much more affectionate to these new calves that had been manifested by Krishna than they had been to the original calves. So so if Brahma took some Maya cows and cowherd boys, and Krishna manifested a new set of cows and calves that were different than the original set, then I don't know what happened to the original set. Maybe some acharya has commented on that in different commentaries. So, of course, I think this was, is this the last chapter that was translated by Srila Prabhupada during his presence? It's quite astonishing. You know, I thought it was. It is the last chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam that was translated by and commented upon by Srila Prabhupada during his manifest presence in this world. And it was his life's work. It was his main accomplishment, really. Main literary accomplishment. In the bookcase, you know, back there, there's one of his original Delhi Bhagavatams. So he began, you know, this work of translating the Bhagavatam in the early 1960s. And he not only labored transcendentally on translating the book, he also printed it himself. And earlier this year, I was in Delhi, and I visited some of the places where Srila Prabhupada was doing the work of writing and printing the Srimad Bhagavatam. That time he was staying in a small Radha Krishna temple in the Chippewada district. There's a little street called Chippewada Wallan where this temple is. Has anybody visited that temple? No. So it's still there today, you know, he had been residing in a small Radha Krishna temple in this Chippewada district, which is in Old Delhi, you know, very narrow streets, very congested, very nice at the same time. And he would work on his translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam in his small room above the temple room in that small Radha Krishna temple. And then, so I visited that place. And then from there, he would work on the printing of his book. Of course, he had to raise some money. So he got a donation of 4,000 rupees to help print his first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the system, and that wasn't actually enough. He actually needed 7,000 rupees to get the printing done. So the system among printers in India would be that if the author didn't have enough money to pay all of the printing costs, they would print the book and then they would give the author, you know, 4,000 rupees worth of books, and then he'd have to go sell them and then pay the rest of the printing bill and get the remaining cost of the book. So, you know, that's basically what Srila Prabhupada did. First he raised about 4,000 rupees, and then he got the printing started. And first he went to Radha Press, which is on the other side of the Jamuna River. It was run by a man named Hitsaran Sharma. And he tried to start the printing there, but he didn't like the point size of the type that they had. It was 10 points, and he wanted 12 points. Like our book designers, like Yamaraj, realized the importance of having a good point size for the type. So Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about that, that at Radha Press they only had 10-point type. And he wanted 12-point, so he went and did the printing at a place called OK Press. And this press is located in Chowri Bazaar in the old part of Delhi, you know, Chandni Chowk area. And Chowri Bazaar means, in Hindi, thieves market. Used to be the old thieves market. But today, and during Srila Prabhupada's time in the early 1960s, it's a district of many paper shops and printing shops. It's a very congested old part of the city with narrow lanes and alleys and all kinds of kind of hole in the wall printing shops and stationery paper shops. So that new OK Press, it's no longer operating, but the place where it was is still there on a place called Churiwalan Lane. You know, so I found that place. It was a nice experience to walk, you know, the same little lanes and alleys that, you know, Srila Prabhupada had walked in the early 1960s when he was first printing his Bhagavatams in Delhi. So the place is still there, but the printing press it's not operating now. And then he would personally buy paper at a place called Siddhamal and Sons paper shop. So I kind of hunted around that district asking some of the older shopkeepers if they knew where this Siddhamal and Sons place was. And that place is still there too. They're not selling paper in this shop anymore. You know, there's some kind of computer instruction class. But the, you know, the building is still there. pretty much in the condition it was in, you know, the early 1960s. And then it's Srila Prabhupada, you know, he would buy the paper, then he would hire, you know, somebody with a rickshaw or cart to take it to the printing shop. And you can still see that in this district today. People with their, you know, men with little rickshaws loaded up with big, huge stacks of paper going to various print shops to deliver the paper for printing jobs. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada was personally doing that. And then, you know, the pages of the book would be printed and he'd proofread them and, you know, they'd do corrections. And finally, you know, when the pages were printed, they were sent out to a binder to be bound. And in that district today, there are still little binding shops where they use the old equipment. And you can see that too. And the cover of his original Delhi Bhagavatam, the paper cover with the, you know, the painting of all the spiritual planets and the material world and with Radha and Krishna and Goloka, that's that he had printed at Radha Press. So I visited that Radha Press as well. And Hitsaran Sharma, of course, no longer living, but his son still runs the place, still in the same family, and they have old letters that Srila Prabhupada had sent, you know, their father, Hitsaran Sharma. So after the books were printed, you know, Srila Prabhupada had to sell them. So in that same district, Chandni Chowk district, there's a street called Naisarak Road, which is lined with all kinds of, you know, just hundreds of little hole-in-the-wall kind of bookshops and some larger ones. So one of them, where Srila Prabhupada placed his books for sale, was the shop of Manoharlal Jain. And in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, there are descriptions that this prominent Indian bookseller gave of how Srila Prabhupada would come and leave books with him for sale, and then he would come back, see how they were selling. So it's just very astonishing how today we have Bhaktivedanta Book Trust with branches all over the world and, you know, printing millions of books. You know, you can see them up there with all beautiful paintings in them and covers and done to the highest standard. And thousands of devotees all over the world are distributing these books and money is coming into the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. But in the beginning, you know, Srila Prabhupada was doing this all alone. Not alone, Krishna was helping him, but from the external perspective, alone. So, one thing, he also sold 18 sets of his Bhagavatams to the United States Embassy in Delhi, and then that embassy distributed them to university libraries in the United States. So, anyways, and you know, this is the final chapter that, you know, Srila Prabhupada dictated in his monumental translation and commenting upon this work, which is the literary incarnation of Krishna. And we're so fortunate to have it. It's our legacy, our inheritance from Srila Prabhupada. You know, sometimes people wonder if they getting any inheritance. But this is, you know, the greatest inheritance, the greatest legacy, you know, that we have this. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please finish Srimad Bhagavatam class by 8:45. So, sorry I didn't leave any time for questions. Hare Krishna.